About half of Americans are reaching retirement age without the resources to maintain their standard of living. Families are having fewer kids, these kids are moving farther from parents, and people are living longer.
There are a series of factors that are making that age group's retirement and their golden years turn ugly. My name is Jeffrey Rogo, and I'm the investing editor at the Wall Street Journal. It's the cost of insurance, it's the amount of debt they have, it's the amount they've saved up, it's the pressures on their finances from paying from children and parents at the same time. And the cost of care to come is a big factor into their quality of life.
This has a domino effect. As fewer seniors can afford caretakers, younger generations have to step in or pay the rising cost of caregiving. But there may be another way. Companies are building and retrofitting homes with gadgets that could redefine how we take care of ourselves. Things like pillboxes that monitor dosage and bed sheets that track our sleep patterns.
We are not going to take all of these people that are in nursing homes, all these people that need round-the-clock care, and immediately fix that. But maybe it helps limit some of the strains on the resources we have, and over time, maybe it also lowers the cost of them.
This episode, technologies that could help our homes take care of us, not the other way around. It's part of a Wall Street Journal series called Unprepared.
The future of everything, a look ahead from the Wall Street Journal with Jennifer Strong.
Masonic Village is a retirement community in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. It's big enough to call a campus with about 2,000 residents on 1,400 acres. There's even a farm with cattle and crops. Recently, residents started testing smart homes.
My name is Fred Kaler. My wife is Brenda. I'm 69 years old. I spent my life in computers, so when the opportunity of getting a smart cottage came about, I put my name in for it.
Their home has 26 smart gadgets. Most can be controlled from an iPad.
I'll just close the blinds here. It goes on channel one. It closes the blinds that I have set up for channel one, which is the kitchen, the living room, and the sunroom.
A motion detector in the bathroom sends an alert to the retirement community staff if there's no activity between 5 and 10 a.m.
If someone fell on the floor and they can't get to the pull cord, I think the concept is to get to you a lot quicker than having someone wait for you for another 12 hours and that type of thing.
A modem in the cottage collects the information and sends it to a dashboard, which can be viewed by the resident and shared with caregivers. Masonic Village Chief Environmental and Facilities Officer, Patrick Samsel.
We are testing right now applications that will allow us to remotely read blood pressure, pulse, weight, and all of those different elements that a home care or home health community-based service might be interested in, with the ultimate idea that hopefully, for example, instead of making 5 visits to a person in a month, maybe you only have to make 2 because you can monitor everything else remotely.
The village is piloting a system monitored by a health team who can go into homes to check on residents.
So this is a picture of a pilot that we were doing at our Lafayette Hill campus, and what you can actually see is that there are sensors that were tied into a resident's apartment, and those sensors will allow you to read the resident's weight and also measure that over time, keep an ongoing record of that. It would allow you to measure a person's blood pressure. It would allow you to measure a person's time in bed so you can measure their sleep habits.
Researchers all over the country want to better understand how these technologies might help seniors live at home longer. Oregon Health and Science University developed a platform that collects real-time data through sensors. Sumathi Reddy writes about health for the Wall Street Journal.
Now they're testing this platform in about 250 homes across the country. They want to see how well these sensors and the system can monitor and track seniors' health.
She visited one of these homes in Portland, Oregon, and spoke with resident Jimmy Moore, who's 75 years old, with a number of health issues.
What sorts of pills do you take?
Gosh, I take vitamin C, and I take glucosamine, chondroitin. I take warfarin, because I had a heart valve replacement. Amlodipine for high blood pressure. Gabapentin is for my neuropathy in my feet.
The team here wants to track when he's taking his medicine. Research assistant Nathaniel Rodriguez sets up a device that looks like a regular pillbox, with 7 days divided into morning and evening sections, but each slot has a tiny sensor on the cap.
So right now I'm opening and closing the timer cap device where the participant will put their medicines. And here we just saw it show up on my control panel, so we know that this device is talking to our computers. So now we know every single time one of these boxes are open for each day of the week.
The idea of tracking every movement might make some people nervous, but it doesn't bother Moore.
Yeah, I don't care about that at all. I did talk to somebody. I suggested this program to one person, and they just freaked out at that. No way. No, I wouldn't do that. You know, if it was cameras or something like that, it would be different. But this is, you know, it's fairly anonymous.
Though there are problems beyond privacy.
For example, Jimmy has a dog. And when I asked the researchers, oh, well, how are the sensors going to distinguish between the dogs and the person? You know, they sort of hemmed and hawed. And they're like, well, the sensors are placed at a certain height. But then they, you know, acknowledge that, of course, if the dog jumps on a chair or something or a couch, then it could interfere a little bit, or it could pick that up and think it's the person. But overall, they say that sort of interference should not interfere with their overall monitoring and data.
The study is looking to incorporate a sensor-lined bedsheet to monitor sleep activity and a voice-activated interface similar to Amazon's Alexa to help participants answer a weekly survey. But retrofitting a home is not the only approach. Homebuilder Lennar is putting commercial-grade Wi-Fi in all 50,000 homes it builds each year across the country. It allows smart speakers and their AI assistants to interact with all these gadgets.
Having the Wi-Fi certification engineered and built into the construction of the home will allow us to add on as many features, as many devices, all types, shapes, sizes, functions as needed in the future to allow the home to adapt as the future adapts. Hi, I'm John Jaffe. I'm the President and Chief Operating Officer of Lennar Corporation. And today we're at one of Lennar's communities in Irvine, California.
Lennar also partnered with Amazon on what they're calling home automation. It largely removes the need for a touchscreen and lets people interact with these devices by speaking.
So we're walking through our model center of the Eclipse models, and we're going to go to what's referred to as the Amazon Experience Center.
Instead of using keys, a homeowner can unlock a smart lock on the front door with their phone, like a key fob for a car. A heat map shows strong Wi-Fi connectivity throughout the home, which allows people to talk to many different smart devices at once from anywhere inside.
So the best way to demonstrate this, since it's during the day, is to say, Alexa, good night. So the shades come down, the lights go off, and you just heard the door lock. Peace of mind, you don't have to worry about did I lock the door, not lock the door, did the kids go out or anything like that.
But to have a smart home perfectly run by Alexa, it might still take some time. Alexa doesn't always understand the commands it's given.
Alexa, start party time. Alexa, start party time.
Okay.
So as you can see, the shades are coming down. Some of the hue lights have come on. Music has come on.
Jaffe says that's why an Amazon specialist comes in to teach the homeowners how to use the system and set the devices to their preferences.
So the ability to actually not just demonstrate, but to teach someone how to use these features, the technician working one-on-one with the homeowner has the ability to do that.
The partnership with Lennar is an example of Amazon's push into smart homes. The Wall Street Journal's Laura Stevens covers Amazon.
More than 13,000 smart home devices from more than 2,500 brands now work with Amazon's systems. And a big part of this is also that Amazon's really trying to be an integral part of how our home works. They want to help us get the dog walker inside the house. They want you to be able to get your package delivered inside your house and have this all working through Alexa and through smart home devices. It's become a very big push for them, in part because this was the original intention for Alexa back in the day. It was envisioned to be a lot like the Star Trek Enterprise computer, really helping you manage the temperature or the light levels.
Home builder Lennar is also looking to integrate more apps and devices that could help people measure their vitals, such as blood pressure and blood sugar. This can be combined with a home design called Next Gen, a suite with its own entrance, living space, and kitchen. It allows generations of families to live together without losing independence. It currently represents about 5% of the homes Lennar sells, but in places with more retirees, such as Phoenix, it's as high as 25%. But it's not just retirees pushing smart homes forward.
The insurance industry needs this to change. When long-term care costs are as high as they are, the person who's paying that, if you have long-term care insurance, is not you. It's not me. It's not my parents. It's an insurance company. And so they're incentivized to find ways to lower the cost of care.
Home builders, insurance companies, and technology firms could someday overhaul how we live and age. Sensors and monitors could help us detect major health or safety problems much earlier. Our kitchens could cook for us when we can't anymore. And automation might take over many other household tasks, too.
There will come a time, I don't know if it's in my lifetime, where this will be the norm for everybody and they will be staying in their homes for potentially the rest of their life. The Jetsons' future isn't as unrealistic as you might think it was 5 or 10 years ago. That is a future that we're moving to. The question remains whether human beings actually want that future to exist. And we won't know until we start using this technology what human beings are comfortable with and not comfortable with.
The Future of Everything is a production of The Wall Street Journal. This episode was produced by Munchie Sun, Kristen Schwab, and Garrett Crow, with help from Jeffrey Rogo and Sumathi Reddy. Our technical director is Jacob Gorski. John Wardock is the executive producer of WSJ Podcasts. Stan Parrish is the editor-in-chief of The Future of Everything. Thanks for listening. I'm Jennifer Strong in the newsroom in New York.